History today. This is the inaugural meeting of the College of Engineering and Applied Sciences, Institute of Material Science and Engineering Committee. And then this is the Dean Carlo Montemagnus brainchild to form an institute. Then working with Dean Teklin, he asks us to tell him what nature this institute will be, what kind of structure, what kind of function, what kind of composition it should be. His idea of an institute, there's a sketch that we have here that was put together by the dean, Dean Teklin, where he conceives a materials science and engineering institute that draws faculty from all the schools in CS. Indeed, beyond CS, schools in the College of Medicine and Arts and Applied Sciences. So he asked me, Dean Lin asked me to talk to the individual school directors, so I went around and talked to all of them. And they seem to be very receptive of this idea. But nobody knows exactly how they should be fully structured. So, all the schools we have, as you know, the MOAC core faculty now are located to the different schools in the college. I mean, aerospace, Reva is in electronics, electrical electronics. And Dr. Bukaj is in Simbi. So we are in different schools now. The idea is that we run the material science graduate program, material science and engineering graduate program from these schools, including the teaching and research. And then also that faculties who are in the various schools who have interest in materials science and engineering, both teaching and research, or teaching and research, could participate. The preliminary discussion I had with some of the school directors, including Professor Awatef, let me believe that faculty members who are currently teaching classes in different schools that had materials content could co-list those classes. And then faculty members in the core material science and engineering program could also co-list their courses. For instance, I could list MTN materials engineering class as well as aero, so one course can be listed as dual. Well, anyway, nobody fully knows exactly how this will work. But this is the current, framework where the MOAC then draws from the different schools. And then here you have the Materials Science Characterization Center, linked to, there's a director of this program, of this center. And this director, works with, and then the Institute of Material Science and Engineering, and the Institute has a director, and the director answers to the associate dean, who answers to the dean. And then on the other side, the complexity on this is that then you also have MOAC core faculty, there, and then with a grad program, the offering MEng, MOAC, and PhD degrees that is now controlled by the institute, and then and so on and so forth. So this structure is not very, it's something that the committee needs to look at. Then, on the other hand, there is a major trust areas. We have different research focuses now in our program, but the idea is that this can be reinvigorated and then expanded and extended by contributing, participating faculty from the different schools who bring their strength, especially in the margin areas, in the area of non-destructive testing, biomedicine, nanotechnology and so on and so forth. You know, so with that background, Dean Lin, actually this is your PowerPoint that I just showed.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just changed the dates to reflect the piece. Yeah. And then, so I think what we'll do today will be to look at this and then have a general discussion. I mean, if you go through the agenda, a general discussion on what we think, the committee think, the institute, you know, should be the definition, the constitution, the structure, you know, whatever we think would be. And then from then on, we can then look at the structure, the organization, and then facilities, you pertaining to students and faculty and so on and so forth. I mean, it doesn't have to be in this order, but anywhere that we can start a useful discussion in this, and then with the aim to help set up the institute. So I would, what I would like to do, you know, since, you know, we will go this way, you know, and then I think everybody has introduced themselves, but you can introduce yourself again, and then provide, you know, some kind of a preliminary, you know, viewpoint on this. Also, I know that we have a program grad director here from civil engineering, you know, and I think that the experience you have as far as, you know, grad education is concerned is very useful, because you actually can tell us, you know, how effectively MOAC can, you know, benefit from interaction and association with civil engineering and every other, you know, school also. I think each member from the different schools would bring, you know, to the table, you know, the need, you know, each school have for materials engineering, how materials engineering can help, and how they can also help us set up this structure. So
actually, graduate program director from civil isn't here.
Oh, is he here? Okay, because you are the...
I'm the program director for the undergraduate.
Undergrad, good. Okay, then that's good. Okay, that's good. All right, so we start with you, Angara.
Yes, I'm Ala Tabi. I go by Al as well. I used to be in the aerospace engineering department for about 15 years. I moved to the School of Advanced Structures. I'm a numerical person, finite element. I teach... for the past, again, 15 years, most of the finite element courses in the college, plus some other courses that I developed.
Yes.
For the harsh behavior of material, or material under harsh behavior, so impact, blast, and stuff like that. In terms of research, most of my research is the area of constitutive equations of materials, so modeling, using finite element in order to predict the behavior on the microscopic level, micro level, and some nano as well, but not much. So that's my expertise.
Okay, all right. And then,
my name is Jim Swanson, Civil Engineering Program Director. My area is structural analysis, structural design, focusing on steel. So I do a lot of work in steel buildings, a lot of work in steel bridges, mostly on the applied side rather than the theoretical side. And research work is in the field for ODOT, in the laboratory for the groups against the American Institute of Steel Construction.
Thank you.
I think most of you know me. My name is Tech Lim. I'm the Associate Dean for Graduate Studies and Research. I'm really here as an observer. I'll try to attend as many meetings as I can when my schedule is allowable, but I don't want to hold up this committee moving forward. Okay, turns out that today I had a little bit of time to stop by here. So you can just use me as a bouncing off ideas before we get to the dean. I'm not the dean, so I can only speculate how he would respond. Okay, but just treat me as an observer and a consultant. Is everybody here, or this is just not everyone is here, right?
Dr. Steko is not here, and then Dr. Gui just emailed me. He's in UK, so he couldn't attend.
Yeah,
couldn't attend. Dr. Shanov, I think, has some conflict today from the Dulu, this thing, so. But I think what we'd like to do would be eventually to do some 8 o'clock meetings to see whether we can get more people. Let's say we'd like to have one Monday 8 o'clock, and the Wednesday again, you know, to see, make sure we accommodate a lot of people.
So I'm Daria Narmanila. I'm here from the biomedical engineering, and I represent a tissue engineering part on the program, which really deals extensively with biomaterials, and we have connections, a lot of connections to the medical side of the campus. So my particular interest is to design the characterization of the materials for applications such as wound healing, for cardiac repair, heart repair. So we work both on the engineering side, material characterization, and actually in vivo applications themselves. So we have dual expertise. And the second part of our, it's my lab, and then it's Dr. Butler's and Dr. Schwann's lab, who deal with orthopedics applications.
Ralph Buchanan from the Material Science Engineering Program, current director. And in my research, basically, it's in electronics and electroceramic materials. I do significant amount of work also in corrosion, metals such as aluminum and structures, and also some work in the bio area by prosthetic materials and composite materials, polymer composite materials. I also do quite a bit of that. I did do some work on structures. I don't try to do that, but I used to work with the older civil people on bridges, and looking at failure analysis and even corrosion protection of some bridge structures. So maybe that's one area we can overlap in some areas.
I'm Greg Bocage. I'm in materials, chemical materials. I'm in CEE, BME. I do polymers and ceramic particles produced in flames. My training's in polymers. I do a lot of interaction with national labs, Oak Ridge, Argonne, and industrial companies. I also have a big project with Africa, doing making solar cells in Africa, with funded by USAID.
Okay, I am Francesco Simonetti. I'm with the School of Aerospace Systems, and here I'm representing the Solid and Structures Group. That includes myself, Professor Nagy, and Professor Liu, which we could all have interest in this area. Our field of expertise is non-destructive evaluation. Most of the time, we are not interested really in characterizing the material properties. We want to look and find defects, but as a byproduct of that, we do a little bit of material characterization, which is aimed at determining Young moduli's distribution, quantitative imaging throughout complex specimens. So, and in particular, my research also branches a little bit in medical diagnostics. I have been leading a proposal on ceramic matrix composite, which is in collaboration with GE Aviation. And most of our research is industry focused. We work with all the major aerospace companies, ranging from GE, Rolls-Royce, etc., as well as oil companies.
Okay. So non-destructive, is this the sonic things? Or?
We do ultrasonic as well as electromagnetic non-destructive testing. Infrared, we have basically almost all the expertise in the field of ND.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think that's pretty good, overview of the faculty, you know, expertise and strength, and possibly the school's, you know, interest. I think what we'd like to do would be to start with Francisco and go around and then talk about, let's say, grad courses you know, that are actually, you know, offered in the different schools that have materials content that can be possibly co-listed, you know, where, you know, because the idea, from my understanding, from Dean Lind, Tech Lind, and Dean Montemagno's, brief presentation, is that courses can be co-listed, you know, in this way, the materials grad program can actually be strengthened further. Also, materials faculty members in the various schools can actually teach courses that we offer now to materials engineering students, to students in aerospace or civil, and so on and so forth. An example is finite element modeling. You know, our former head of department, Professor Jay Rama, used to teach a course like that. And since he left, nobody teaches FEM. And our students who are interested in composite, you know, literally don't take that course anymore. So this kind of arrangement makes it even possible now to enrich programming. So I will start with Francisco, and then we go around the table again to talk about, let's say, courses, you know, which will be a tangible benefit, you know, for the institute, the way it's being constructed now. I know that Professor Gu had taught a course in composite, structural composite.
He is teaching, as a matter of fact. Professor Liu is an expert in computational, solid mechanics computational, so finite elements, we probably know him by his work. We definitely have a need for material courses in also for our graduate students.
Yes.
There is a big problem in terms of background requirement. If we have to teach non-destructive evaluation to students that have exclusive background in materials, makes our life very difficult, because our work is heavily dependent on mathematical tools that most students won't have. And so that's a difficulty that we will face if we have to teach these courses from students' point of view.
Yeah. For instance, one problem I think we have now, you know, the qualifying exam for aero,
yes,
engineering student is actually, you know, I saw the announcement, you know. Can a faculty member in aerospace, well, like me now, and you, also advise students who are in the materials grad program and vice versa? You know, that would require some expertise. For instance, a student interested in composite or non-destructive testing, but who came in as a materials engineering student, could actually have a co-advisor in aerospace, right?
Yes, but I think on the qualifying exam, I think you are touching a very, very crucial,
yes,
point, because if I take any of our students, and now I'm talking after discussing this with my colleagues, our students will never be able to pass a qualifying exam in materials,
yes,
and that is reciprocal. A student with background in material will not be able to even get close to our qualifying exam. So that is going to be a big problem. How are we going to solve this?
Yeah.
May I also say that discussing the program, it's very important how this is going to work out. But may I suggest that we also step back a moment and see where this is going, what we want to achieve. I understand that the dean is saying that we want to build this institute, and I agree it's a good idea, because it meets the needs of modern education. We need to have material taught to the students. There is a demand for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we should be thinking carefully how we define our strategy to develop this institute. And it's probably more linked to the different areas,
mm-hmm,
where you want to end up with. So I'm not entirely sure that NDE is going to be one of the best areas for developing this material institute. So I think before we go into the details of how we are going to structure this program, we need to make sure that we have the right players sitting at this table, because I don't want to make a decision if then I'm not going to, NDE is not going to be one of the main thrusts of this program.
Okay.
And I think it's important we decide what the thrusts are, because we need to carefully analyze what our strengths are and our weaknesses are as a university at UC. And I would propose that as a starting point, if you
agree.
Let me suggest we step back one step further. Even what problem are we trying to solve by the creation of this institute? What are the goals and objectives? I mean,
exactly.
Missing from the slideshow.
Yeah.
Is this just an academic exercise, or is there some?
Okay. Well, I would say something. Then Dean Teklin, then would polish that, because Dean and then Dean Montemagno. Actually conceived this idea, and then we actually had some discussion as to the merit, and we think there is a really huge merit. One interesting component of this is this, that materials science and engineering education, research and teaching is has permeated all the different areas of engineering. If you go to civil, there's a lot of content involving material science and engineering. Go to mechanical, there is a lot of programs there, both research and teaching, that involves materials engineering. If you go to chemical, both in polymers and the membrane, there's a lot of overlap. So the idea is, and also in area of, let's say if you have a dwindling faculty, if you come to material science and engineering, in the early 90s, we had about 21 faculty members in material science and engineering. And then material science and engineering is actually multidisciplinary too, in the sense that you have ceramic, you have polymers, and then you have metallurgy. Each of these three areas actually, in many universities, are independent, programmatic area, offers degrees. So we managed to actually forge a very unique material science and engineering structure here. But over the years, when faculty retire and there's no resources, it becomes hard to actually fully provide top-notch education. Like I said, in composite area, we lost a faculty member who used to teach finite elements. So for the past 10 years, it has not been taught. So students, materials who are taking composites, they miss this knowledge.
There's a finite element course taught as an EGFD class.
Well, the point is that if we have a structure like this, then the expertise of Professor Tabei becomes incorporated. Actually, now he can co-list his course, both as civil and also as materials. So the faculty's strength is improved, and expertise is improved. In the area of research, with emerging area, if you go to mechanical, there's nanoscience, nano engineer, nanotechnology. You go to chemical, they also have focus in nano. BME have, nanomedicine. It seems like if you have a focal point where this faculty then come together, almost as by deliberate effort, by organization, by structure, they are actually working together. Instead of wondering whether I should call somebody in BME and collaborate with them, the collaboration is literally now how do you describe it? The collaboration now becomes natural, because we now belong to the same, under the same umbrella, So both in strengthening the faculty, and then also addressing emerging areas, as time goes on, and then as well as the student offering to give our students better choices. He was talking about the difficulty that could be created if somebody in aerospace has a student from materials. But the way to look at it is this: if you have a student who's interested in materials, program, the person can take our core classes in materials engineering. He doesn't have to take, a qualifying exam in aerospace. He will take it in materials. And if you take in the core classes in materials engineering, then you should be able to pass the qualifying exam. On the other hand, if we have a student who came in with mechanics background and who wants to get a degree in aerospace, as long as there's a faculty member in aerospace who can advise the person, and the person takes all the core courses in aerospace, then they can take the qualifying exam in aerospace. Indeed, this structure that we are talking about now is made possible by the way materials engineering program was structured previously. Indeed, if Reva had a student, Reva being a ceramic engineering professor, if he had a student who's interested in taking qualifying exam in polymers, you know, we actually give them that liberty that even though his advisor is in, you know, ceramic engineering, he can take qualifying exam in polymers, you know, and then without any problem. So I think that there are merits here. Organizationally, it needs a lot of thought on how to make this work, but there's a need for it academically, there's a need for it in terms of research, there's a need for it in terms of outreach, and I think that with the college, you know, we have here, you know, this is a very fertile ground to make this work. I think that materials engineering is now literally has spread to all the major engineering disciplines. And I
think I agree with that, but I think we also have to be extremely realistic because the competition out there is fearsome. And we need to have a product which is clearly defined and differentiates us from the other schools. Because the main problem we have is how are we going to attract people to sign up to this master in materials at UC? How are we going to attract good students? Because if we don't have good students, we are not going to have a good program.
Yeah.
So how are we going to do that?
But that has not been a problem. I've been the grad director twice. In 2000, we actually had 48 students admitted into materials grad program. In 2010, we had about 30 students out of 200. You know, so getting students into materials program has never been a problem, really. You know, it has not been a problem.
For the grad program.
In the grad program, yes. It's never been a problem at all. You know, indeed, resources has been the limitation. And we think that our resources can be enhanced by having a collaboration that coming from all the schools. With the school directors.
Yeah, but when are we talking about? When was this? Because nowadays, students, the first thing they go is to go online and check where your school is ranking.
No. Really, our program, materials grad program, the last time NRC evaluated, we were in the top 30. We rank higher than UC and UD. We rank higher than, I think Ohio State is the only university here in Ohio that rank higher than, you know, our program. So we are aware that we rank higher than Pittsburgh. So the ranking of our program...
Yeah, but now how is the institute going to be ranked? Because are they going to rank the institute itself? So if I am a student, no, a master student, and I planning to go to UC,
yes,
is this student going to enroll in the...
The institute is a structure. It's a structure. The program is the materials science and engineering program, and that program exists.
Exist. So the
yes.
students will enroll in that program.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. It exists. It just passed through. We had accreditation.
It gives more flexibility, right? So they come in and they can see, well, aerospace or mechanical has this affiliation with this.
Yes.
This, so you can. It'll
right. Right. But
they
are not gonna. They're gonna subscribe to a program in aerospace and then end
right.
up
some will,
in a material.
Some will. Yeah. So it enhances your draw. Right.
Yeah. Because you can be an advisor, you can be an advisor, and you'll
yeah.
be listed.
Say they want it, they're in between, they don't know if they want to do materials, but their backgrounds, they have a BS in aerospace,
yeah.
so it's more comfortable for them to take the qualifier
okay.
in aerospace, they really want to do materials.
Indeed, one of my last students is an aerospace student, actually, joined
okay.
aerospace.
So it should enhance your programs.
Yeah.
But somehow,
may
I think.
Like, ask another question,
yes.
which is sort of in line with what's been discussed here. If this institute and we can justify it, just you did it from a different perspective. What are the potential sources of funding? Is there an opportunity that we could apply for this? Just like they did that what Dr. Sharnoff is, you know, for the magnesium grant, for example. That one encompasses itself, that encompasses several different universities, but that's exactly that situation when we have this center-like thing, when students, I know that we have several students in BME who enrolled in BME, but then they're part of this general initiative, which doesn't provide all the money, but it provides some money for students and for faculty to travel and things like this. So my question is, I don't know if there's any opportunity for fund, like, you know, if the institute can apply for some sort of support or seed grant or something like that.
I can answer that, but before I answer that, maybe I'll just answer his question. From my perspective, when I got involved in this material science engineering program structuring, I think the institute idea is to solve three problems. The material science and engineering core faculty will be dispersed throughout the college. That's one background information. Second thing, is materials, research, and education resides in most of the schools, with the exception of maybe computer science and engineering education. So given that background, the institute's idea is to try to have a place that kind of group all the activities and materials, education and research in all the schools into one entity, so that it doesn't look too dispersed. Okay, that's one problem it's trying to solve. Second problem is the material science and engineering graduate program that exists today, as he say, needs a home. Most graduate program has a school or a department that calls home. Material science and engineering graduate program does not have a home currently. It was in CBME, now it's not in CBME. So the institute would give it a home. Okay. Third thing is we have quite a bit of experimental facilities that are geared towards materials characterization research, namely the Advanced Material Characterization Center. That center has, I don't know when that started, is really managed under my office, the Graduate Studies and Research Office. I think that's the wrong place to put it, okay? Because that person over there, me right now, it dabbles in materials, but nowhere close to, I wouldn't call myself a materials scientist at all. So it needs a home, and the home for that advanced material AMCC and whatever experimental facility that we have, either college-wide or in the schools, that supports material needs a home, and that home, the institute, can be the home. I think the reason why, from my viewpoint, we formed this institute to solve these three problems. Without the institute, I think the MSc graduate program would not have a home. Dean or whoever that present the material science and engineering program to the outside world won't say that, well, it's in aerospace, it's in mechanical engineering, it's in civil, it's all dispersed, it's no one place that can hold it together. So I think that's the main reason, in my mind, for the institute, government has a different idea, but that's how I see it. Then to answer your question, I think what Carlo challenged the committee is that if you come up with good ideas, he said he's willing to support it. All the financial sheet readers don't have money, but he says he's willing to support it. In my mind, is if you have a good idea, I think the institute can be like a school where it can go after major funding, internally, externally. You can go on to the UC21 2019 radar screen. Right now, it's UC2019 doesn't even mention this material science and engineering. It mentioned a whole host of things. UC2019, unlike UC21, UC21 was very broad. Type of mandate, not very specific. UC 2019 is very specific. I don't know if you've seen it. Go online, you can look at it. To the point where this program get $50,000, things that's very specific. So the idea is, if you have this institute, if it's a really good idea, you get onto the radar screen of Bill Ball and Santa also, or the president even say, hey, this is something unique here. We want it to survive. Let's see if we can get support for it. So I think it starts with really, really good idea.
That's great, because I think if we have the goals, we can sort of pull it all together. So let's say if our goal is to meet this and to become part of the 2019, then how we phrase and frame the whole thing, it helps us to define it.
Okay,
right? Mm-hmm. So, and maybe other sources of seed money from other local sources. I think if we have that as a goal,
So right now there is no material science engineering graduate program.
There is. It's managed by him.
Okay.
There's no home in the sense of a school. Okay. Yeah. So Carlos said the home is at the graduate studies office, which is really a bad place to put it.
Okay. So that's what started the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I agree with you in terms of there are three elements to this. The first one, which is easily solved by simply discussion of what courses we offer and all of this.
Exactly.
Okay, there is lots of expertise in different departments. There is overlap of courses. Composite being taught in aerospace and in material science, the person that left, but it's the same course really in terms of mechanics and manufacturing and all of that stuff. We might have called tools, especially now with computational material, lots of expertise in the advanced structures and the aerospace engineering, the FLU, and in other departments as well. So the first step, I think, in terms of resolving, to be more effective,
exactly.
Like this, right? To be more effective.
Yeah.
Here are the points that we need to tackle, and tackle them one at a time.
Exactly.
The easiest one is courses. Right, this way.
Because that defines the need, actually.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, and the need, and you can solve that problem. In terms of research, I think that would be the director for the Material Science Institute to coordinate all these activities, isn't it? Because we have now a mechanism that I can just call somebody and say, okay, I want to collaborate on this proposal. However, when there is a person in charge, that person in charge will lead these activities. Is this what envisioned for the research portion of this?
Yeah, to some degree, but not just one person. The whole graduate faculty has to support it. It only comes from the graduate faculty.
Well, it has to be initiated from somebody.
If you put a proposal in SF for a joint, you can say, well, we're teaching this joint course in this institute because we're both members of it. So it enhances your ability to apply for money. Right.
Well, you see, in the traditionally in the College of Engineering, in terms of collaboration, it's individual. There is no encouragement for collaboration from above. This is what has been my experience for the past many years. It's normally initiated by individual faculties, and it's done. When you create an institute in which you create an umbrella for something like this, okay, there has to be an initiator for these things. A person in charge that's going to say, well, here's a proposal, for example, he could say, well, here's an announcement. Okay, so the material, the director of the Material Institute will say, well, who are the players, okay, in this area? This, initiate the contact, if there's interest, write proposal under the umbrella of that institute. This is how I envision the role of director for the institute, and this is probably the most, based on my experience with the college, the best way to approach these type of initiatives, okay, is to come from a person who is in charge and then coordinate all of that rather than, this guy and this guy like each other, okay, they would collaborate, otherwise they will not. And then the other aspect of it, you mentioned the material characterization. So that also can be very well streamlined because here are the equipments we have, here are the capability, you just list all of that under the website for the institute and obviously a person in charge for that one as well. Is this what you're...
Yeah. I think, again, you know, I don't think anything is set in concrete, so the community, you guys can decide about what you want to do eventually. But what you mentioned, it seems reasonable, okay?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, don't call me Dean. Just call me Tech or Lin, okay?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah, actually, that's very interesting. The trust areas, we think, are really very important because in attracting more students, you know, if there is this emerging areas, nanotechnology, biomedicine, that are associated with materials institutes, then many more students, you know, would actually be also interested in exploring opportunity in materials, science and engineering. The point you just, you know,
made, which I agree with, is the organization of the trust areas. We conceive that, well, we had a preliminary discussion on this a little bit earlier to talk about what are the key trust areas. You know, if each trust area are defined, and then you have five or six faculty members in the different trust areas, then you almost have a focal point. You have points of contact. Indeed, it is possible that each trust area has a lead who the director or whoever can, contact and say, well, there is a program coming up from DOE, DOD, or NIH, NSF in this area. You need to get your group together and start discussion and then to put a proposal together. So the lead for each trust area working with the director of MOSC then can start this. So at a particular time, you could have three center proposals that each group, you know, are really working on and being coordinated. And then in a way, it becomes a college-wide activity in the institute, you know, for interested, you know, faculty members. And then, like you said, then with the facilities that we have in material science now, and then in the different schools, they will come to be able to make this actually very, very, you know, successful program. So we conceive that each trust area will have, you know, members there, and then a lead there too. You know, the lead would then call a meeting with the grad director or the institute director with them to start an initiative. I actually think that, you know, the point you made earlier, that once we agree on how this will work, that we should put up a small proposal to the other NSF to fund the startup of this big initiative.
Right, and some, like PNG is really interested in this, well, and so is the Air Force. So
that's perfect.
Local companies could come in, right? Yeah,
indeed,
at the start.
With your participation, it will help us to make a national case.
And the links to DOE could come in too.
Yes, exactly. It will help us to make a national
case. Not just NSF.
Yes.
May I bring another point here? I know it might sound a little bit sort of counterintuitive, but if you consider, I'm not sure that having the thrust areas is, it might be limiting, don't you think? How many overall people we have in this institute? It's a couple of dozen, right? It's not that many. It's not like 100 faculty. And I think the areas of, like, because of the research and science and technology develop so fast, it may change from like 1-2 years to the next couple of years to 30 years. And I think, I'm not sure if it might look, when you organize it and when you market it, that you just list areas which are available or areas of expertise and possible, you know, like collaborations, but do not set it in stone that you have one versus, because then it sort of invites itself for more competition between trusts. Trust areas rather than cooperation. I wanna, like, I have been part of what's called the Cardiovascular Center of Excellence in the College of Medicine, which has been funded by Dean of Medicine for the last several years. And their format is, I think, is something similar to what we're proposing here. They have a number of faculty, maybe around 20 total, which have monthly seminars. And part of those seminars is discussion of what's new applications, like what's new requests for applications out there, like from NIH, from NSF, from other sources. And then, okay, who would be interested in it? So you see, like, those monthly seminars, it's more like mandatory for all participants in the Center of Excellence. But then once the faculty get together and somebody really brings it up, okay, you see there's interest in this request for application, who wants to participate? Who has expertise in it, and people sort of sign up. And it changes, obviously. Okay, one time there's one focus, then the next time will be another focus, or something like this. And it gives this flexibility, which I think that's what we're after. So I wonder if we can make that as part of the
experience. Oh, that's perfect. That is.
Because I know that works for them, yeah. And this way it encourages collaboration, but it sort of condition is that, okay, Center of Excellence, it does give out some money. Like, it's a small support, it's not crucial, but it's helpful. But then again, people who signed up for it, they have to come to those monthly meetings and they have to participate in that way. And then it brings different people together.
How much do they give?
Well, it depends. I think they have stuff like they have the facility center with several microscope and ultrasound, which are very expensive, but that's what they use the money for, and they give people free access to that.
I see.
As far as I think, they may have a couple of technicians funded from the center who would operate this equipment. You know, it's things like this. It's not real money for students or for like postdocs. Individual labs. Right. It's more like access to the shared facilities which you don't have to pay for. And just the fact that you have those facilities makes a difference because they were able to get some very important piece of equipment that needs. And it looks like it's similar because we already have this facility too. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, it's a way to.
The AMCC facility, if you have not seen it, is really extensive.
Incredible.
It is great.
And you know what? The college is subsidizing it. Tune of $200 a year.
Okay.
And we just hired Melody Fisk Kensire, sure.
Yeah.
That's another $50,000 or $60,000 right there. And we signed an agreement with NIOSH to get access to their high resolution tent. And we paid $30,000 a year for that too. So just within like 6 months, we spent another $150,000 on the AMCC. So Calvo is putting emphasis on that. And that is on top of a protest from our budget director, because we don't have money. Okay, Tim Schaffenberger said, why are we doing this? We don't have money. I mean, I can understand his viewpoint. He's a controller. He needs to make sure everything is balanced. But Calvo is pushing ahead with that. So there's a lot of facility underneath this one, this area. And that needs a home for that. Okay, it's not being, to my mind, it's not being utilized to the maximum extent possible. I'm managing it, but I'm just making sure that it's on life support. Sure that it doesn't die. We need an institute to kind of take it on to the next level. I mean, you cannot, the institute, so it doesn't start from ground zero. You have a lot of infrastructure available already. It's a question, how do you put this together? You guys continue on, we'll go to another meeting now. Okay, so right. Like I say, I'll continue to
okay. Thank you.
Join anytime I can.
Okay.
I think it's great discussion here.
Okay, appreciate
it. Nobody throw punches.
Yeah, that's very, very interesting because that, you know, structure, the way you see it and then and the way they're conceiving this is actually, you know, a bit what the college research office does. You know, periodically they circulate, you know, RFPs, you know, requests for proposals in this area, but it's done literally almost in abstract. But what you're saying is more tangible. Like in the weekly or bi-weekly seminars?
Weekly, I don't think it's possible because people don't have the time.
Okay, you do it monthly?
They do it, I think, monthly or occasionally they would skip a month.
Okay.
You know, it's I think, but that proves to be enough.
Yeah, and I think that would be effective because we actually can go a step beyond if a call for proposal is identified and then the faculty interest is shown. Indeed, you actually can charge among the team that are interested somebody to, you know, get an abstract on, another person to look at background, another person to look at literature, so that actually proposal, you know, writing, major proposal writing becomes organic and then very effective. And then everybody is involved. Because in the past, you know, the center, you know, proposals that, you know, a generator from here is almost a one-man show or one-lady show, you know. And then to the extent that when it, you know, matures, the person feels like, you know what, it's all mine. But it can be done in such a way that everybody gets involved at the beginning. If we have a junior faculty member, this is also the way to make sure the person develops, is to make sure that senior faculty members take proactive steps in making sure that this person gets socialized, both in proposal writing, and then developing courses.
I think this is actually very important.
Oh, it is very important.
Can I say something, actually? Yes. I think a proposal writing is very important. Trying to tap into the federal funding, it's a good idea. We need to be, though, realistic. Federal funding is tough. On the other hand, I think we have plenty of opportunities which are local, industry-based. We have PNG, we have GE Aviation, that are greatly interested in materials, and it would be foolish from our side to implement a strategy that doesn't make the best use of what we have next door. Because when you go and compete for federal funding, you have all the big guys there.
Yeah.
And we are not big by any means. We don't exist almost.
Right. So NIOSH and EPA.
So what I think, and your point is valid, that we shouldn't kill ourselves identifying specific areas. However, we need to have a strategy which is focused to address the needs, industrial needs near us. And that requires defining some strategic areas, I believe.
That's I think I'd be all looking for it. And that's what I said when I asked about funding. I think if we identify those areas and where we can go for funding and local, I agree with you.
Exactly.
That's where we put ourselves, the whole writing, the whole application from even the dean's perspective, right, the Dean Montemagno's, it becomes tangible, it adds the strength to it because we set the targets.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. We need to identify areas, but I would not call them, and those areas, I don't think it shouldn't be thrusts or something, and there shouldn't be too many of them.
Well, I think we should identify industries, specifically industries, mm-hmm. and that will define the...
And then we would say, say you say PNG with subsections of what potential is, right?
Yeah, what we can do, what's our capability, is a business case here.
Yeah,
it's not.
I agree with that it has to be motivated by something that we can
right.
achieve.
Right, I think once you have decided that, then you also work out what kind of courses you can teach which are relevant.
Mm-hmm.
To, but I think our mission... The central mission should be to target some industrial, because in the end of the day, it's all about money. How are we going to raise money to support this activity?
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's our focus. That should be the starting
point.
Well,
that's part of the focus, because, the institute also has service. The service is a major part. Indeed, at Connecticut, they have IMOs. Part of this, the service component, the service components takes care of industrialism, industrial activities, industrial-related research, fundraising. But also, industries is very important because you may not really make it on a national scale if you don't have supporting industries. So NSA proposal, obviously, is strengthened by having commitment from industries, to really support. It goes hand in hand.
Yeah, and I think actually I think that's the main strength we have here, because when you compare yourself to the competition outside, as I said, it's extremely tough. You all know that. So I think we need to work out what our key core skill here is, and I believe our core skill is the industrial support that we have around. If we can build on that, we can raise money in the beginning, so get strength, build strength. But also, if you are clever about building the program, we could end up attracting good students. And the reason for that is that think about if we were going to offer a program that has kind of a co-op within your master. That would make it extremely attractive to good people, because they think, oh, well, I'm going to meet him. I'm going to get a job at PNG after this.
You can try to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, 15 years.
Exactly, but so we need to think very strategically and differentiate ourselves from the rest of the pack. Because if we're trying to conform and build a program which is more or less like everything else, mm-hmm. I think we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah. Indeed, 15 years ago, REVA, with the Industrial Advisory Board, set up a grad co-op for materials program. We actually had that going. Materials cannot really survive without the industrial base. But national also recognition also involves participation in some of these major centers, whether it's DOD, DOE, NSF, NIH. You get major recognition that way too. But you need industrial base.
Yeah, you need to build credibility and strength first.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Okay. So probably we would like to send out a memo for. Possibly meeting on Monday, 8 o'clock.
I'm out of town.
Okay, so we keep it on Wednesday, the same time Wednesday. And then what we like to do would be to follow through with email asking faculty to, you know, actually provide additional suggestions that we will discuss in the next meeting so that everybody comes a little bit prepared, you know, you know, starting from this point.
Yeah.
And I think that this is really very good, you know, in strengthening the faculty and the program and providing student excellent education, that is our goal. And I think that with faculty coming from the different schools with this kind of passion, it really makes it possible to actually address that kind of goal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, would you move?
Yeah, I move to adjourn.
Okay, anybody support him? Okay, all right, okay. So, yeah. Thank you for coming. And then we will probably circulate the meeting before next Wednesday. And then, and then, you know.
Thank you.
All right,
thanks,
you're welcome. Sir. Good job. So you, is the office here or?